This is First Nation Ministries. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to Native American tribes throughout North America, providing food, clothing, and other life essentials. Now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Boettcher. We'll pick up where we left off on Thursday as Deborah continues with her teaching, Who is Lost in My House?
Think about wounded family members that you have been praying for and trying to reach them with the gospel. What is the root of their hurt? Maybe a Christian hurt them. Maybe they're disappointed with God. Maybe the church hurt them or a pastor hurt them. If you don't know what the root is, ask God or the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you so that you can start to break down the wall. Go to the person and repent. Maybe you didn't cause the hurt, but you can repent for the sins of others. And I have to tell you, Marvin, I have done this with Indian people. I cannot change the history of this country. I was not there when it happened, but I can apologize for what my ancestors were part of and the devastation that they caused to the Indian people. I can tell them, you know what, I am so sorry. I'd change it if I could, but I can't.
Well, I think that I've heard people be critical of that because of what you just said, that you can't, you know, you can't repent for what your ancestors do, but there's a lot of people that believe that you can. There's even an organization similar to ours is involved in that with the Indian people, and it's a reconciliation. It used to be called American Reconciliation Coalition or something of that effect. But, you know, I had a great uncle, and his name was Dr. DeBell, and he was an Indian agent on the Rosebud Reservation in the 1920s sometime, along in there. And my grandfather basically almost hated him because he was so devious, and he stole from the Indians, and he cheated them out of stuff, and gave them whiskey for furs, and did a lot of things. And, you know, I've thought oftentimes I would like to find a time maybe I could have a chance to repent to those people for what my family members did even.
You know, I don't think it hurts anything because when I've done it, they have looked at me and said, thank you. I think it helps to heal the hurt that they are experiencing in their heart. And certainly it isn't going to cause more hurt. You know, I think this, all it can do is help. So I believe in it. Yes. I just do.
Well, thanks for your encouragement.
let's look at Daniel's prayer for God's people. We'll find this prayer in Daniel 9, 4 to 8. It says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are a great and awesome God. You always fulfill your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and keep your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke your messages to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are in the right, but our faces are covered with shame, just as you see us now. This is true of us all, including the people of Judah and Jerusalem and all Israel, scattered near and far, wherever you have driven us because of our disloyalty to you. O Lord, we and our kings and princes and ancestors are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. So see, we must be willing as Christians to pray for repentance and to repent openly and directly to loved ones and family members who have been hurt by our people, Christian people. Wait for the prompting of the Holy Spirit and then go to your wounded loved ones and repent to them for what has happened to them by Christian people. It'll make a difference. It cannot hurt. You know, even if they don't accept it, it hasn't done any damage. And it could be that it will help heal that wound. And then ask your family member to share with you any other hurt that's been caused by the body of Christ. Be open, be vulnerable. You know, one way you can witness to your lost family member is to model humility and repentance. Repent of any sin on behalf of the church to your loved one, your lost loved one. And then share with your family members the truth that unhealed hurts ultimately hurt only the person is holding on to them. Someone said it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. You know, I think that says it pretty well. Encourage your loved ones to forgive. If they are disappointed in God, don't defend God. He doesn't need our defense. Simply explain that holding on to anger against God keeps them from receiving His love. Being angry doesn't change God, but it will change them for the worst. And then there's another thing. It's anger against self. This is another wall of hurt and anger and bitterness, and it's anger with oneself. And sometimes people feel that they have so hurt or disappointed themselves or God that they can never recover from being angry and bitter with themselves. The only way to approach a person angry with himself is to assure him of God's unconditional love and unending mercy. The wall of guilt and anger resulting from failure can be immediately taken down through confession and repentance.
Amen.
You know, to stay angry with yourself in the face of God's forgiveness just denies everything that Jesus did on the cross. It's setting yourself up above Jesus. You know, even though Jesus will forgive me, I'll stay mad at myself. No. That's not the intent that God had. John wrote, "We will be confident when we stand before the Lord, even if our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything." 1 John 3:19 and 20. I think that's wonderful. Now let's talk about doubt and skepticism. I guess I struggle with this. Sometimes people that have been to college or grad school or whatever, they try to argue intellectually, and they feel that they're more powerful and brilliant, and you know, they can persuade or browbeat you, make you feel bad. And at times they win the argument, but it doesn't win people to Jesus. Their reaction often is, well, next time I'll be better prepared. My argument will be better. The Apostle Paul tried to debate a king who was hard of heart. It's in Acts 26, 24 to 28, and it says, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning has made you mad.' But he said, 'I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from God. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest.' And then Agrippa said unto Paul, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.'" I think those words give me chills. Those are the saddest words. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." How terrible to hear that from loved ones. What a terrible thing. And so we won't accept that. We're going to talk about what to do. But even with his training and education, Paul could not persuade Agrippa to believe. And Paul was an educated man. So leading a lost family member or loved one to Jesus is not about winning debates or proving who's smarter or proving who's more educated. Paul writes that the gospel must be accompanied with God's power to overcome the walls of unbelief. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For when we brought you the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know that the way we lived among you was further proof of the truth of our message. So you see, it's not persuasiveness, but the power of other that leads people to Christ. I hear people say, you know, my child isn't saved and I've just got to do something. It's like, no, you need to pray for them, behave like a Christian, love them, and bringing them into the family is the job of the Holy Spirit. It's done through the power of God. We cannot force that to happen. So how do we break through this wall of doubt and skepticism? Well, first of all, don't debate. Winning a lost loved one to Jesus doesn't consist of winning a debate or an argument or a fight. We're not in the ring sparring with them, trying to knock them out or overpower them. That's not the correct model that we should be using anyway. We should reach out with the love of Jesus. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, 24-26, the Lord's servants must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. Now you think about who's in the world today. Our country just seems to be imploding, really.
We'll need to stop here today, but Debbie will continue with her teaching, Who is Lost in My House, on Thursday's program. Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. On Wednesday, join us for our classic edition of First Nation Ministries with our founder, Reverend Don Klein. I love to tell the story. You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.